Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on looking at economic reality right after this. You know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then, you have to pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000. Now, that's another $8,500. And you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it? That's a four-hour commentary on the law school, and it's entertaining, educational, informative, and free. Our tax and status school is available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. We are looking at economic reality through the eyes of the international forecaster and the privateer. Now, last time on the program when we were looking at the privateer, I pointed out the housing crisis that we have just gone through, which has been the catalyst for the economic meltdown worldwide, is now winding down with a total loss of 19 million homes. 19 million properties have been foreclosed on. Or, put another way, we got 19 million vacancies, whether they've been foreclosed on by the banks or not. People have voluntarily walked away, or they've been built by builders and they're overbuilt, and we got 19 million of them sitting out there. What that boils down to is that if you want to sell your house, you've got 19 million competitors out there. Now, there's always been some other houses out there on the market besides yours, but there's never been 19 million of them out there beside yours before. Now, that's bad, but listen to this, and I reported this to you last time. Let's see if you can remember this from yesterday now. There's coming a new housing foreclosure problem, three times larger than the one that has just put the world's economy on hold. Now, remember this story. As the huge U.S. housing market is collapsing from under its lenders, with market prices falling below the loans leaning against them, there's a steep wall ahead. This wall is the resetting of the super low teaser mortgage rates swung into the field about 3 years ago as the U.S. housing market went into its last upward spasm. They're called Alt-A and low or no-doc mortgages. So in addition to these mortgages that were set out, you know, 3 years before that, starting in 2002, 3, and 4, then in 4, 5, 6, we were making more loans, which are now coming due in 9, 10, and 11. And it's three times larger. So if you think that you've got a housing problem now and a world economy in meltdown now, what do you think is going to happen when three times that many houses come on the market? Here's what that boils down to. You have 19 million out there now, and you're going to have another 19, that's 38 million more, and maybe 19 on top of that, maybe 57 million more. We don't know exactly how many are going to go into foreclosure because we don't know what the unemployment rate's going to be. See, as long as you're employed, you're probably going to make your house payment. Even if your house payment resets to double or triple the amount that it is now, in other words, if you're paying $1,000 a month now and it doubles to $2,000, if you're employed and you're able, you're going to make that $2,000 a month house payment. If you're making $1,000 a month payment now and your payment doubles to $2,000 a month and you're able to make that payment until you lose your job, when you become unemployed, are you going to be able to make that payment? And that's why I just said, depends upon unemployment. Now, let's shift gears here. Now, let's move over to the International Forecaster, which is published by a fellow named Bob Chapman. Remember our old friend Bob. If you'd like to get a copy of the International Forecaster for Wednesday, May 20th, 2009, I think he'll send you a complimentary copy. Just tell him, George Gordon reviewed your newsletter, and it's the May 20th, 2009 letter. Would you please send me a copy of that newsletter for me to review, pending my determination as to whether I should subscribe or not? Now, the subscription here on the International Forecaster is $159 a year. It's worse than that. It's $159.95. That's $160 a year. Send him a check for $160. He'll take your credit card temporarily. And this is called the internationalforecaster.com. That's easy enough. It's post office box 510-518, six digits there. P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. And you have to have the zip plus four. He can't get it because it's going to his post office box, 510-518. Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, Florida. Punta Gorda, Florida. I'll give you that name and number a little later in the program. One more time. Listen to paragraph one. Get your pen and paper out here and listen to this. The excuses coming out of Wall Street and Washington are truly mind-boggling. We wonder how the public swallows these arguments. One of the latest is that for 1 week applications for jobless benefits, it has now fallen. Well, that's good. But we'd need a number of weeks of reduction for the fall to be meaningful. Anything to keep the market from falling. This has been followed by a long line of liars telling us that we had bottomed out in the economy. That same litany that we've been hearing for 22 months, unemployment is a lagging indicator, thus the increases have yet to end. The latest bogus unemployment figures are 8.9% short-term, including the birth-death ratio. That is a phantom jobs created by government, supposedly by small and medium-sized company. That 8.9% supposedly matched up with the worst of the 1974 recession. That is not true, because the formula in 1974 was far different than today's monstrous lies. The 1974 figures did not include the birth-death ratio, those working at reduced hours and those in part-time employment seeking full-time jobs, which now makes up 2.6% of the workforce. Then there is the 1% plus that is discouraged and have left the workforce and probably won't return. Once unemployment has bottomed, it could take a year or more before employers begin to rehire. They have to be sure that increased demand exists and that the economy is in fact recovering. Today, job losses are not only blue-collar jobs, but white-collar jobs as well, due to free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing. Those jobs will not come back. They could return if Congress passed legislation implementing tariffs on goods and services. All of those manufacturing jobs will never return unless Congress acts. If Congress does not act, the economy is permanently doomed. Presently, as many white-collar jobs as blue-collar jobs are being lost, and mechanics cannot easily work in health care, and the wages are a little more than one-third of what they were earning just 3 years ago. In 16 months, the government admits that 5.7 million jobs have been lost. In the previous 8 years, there was an additional 5 million jobs lost. Now, just to show you how serious this is by historical comparison, in August of 1981 through December of 1982, we lost 2.8 million jobs. In March of 2000 through May of 2002, we lost 2.2 million jobs. So over 9 years, we have lost 10.7 million jobs. That's officially, that's what they admit to. We'll never know what the real figure was. Now, can you imagine all of the lost wages that left America to pay people in China, India, and Mexico as a result of globalization, free trade, offshoring, and outsourcing? Now, in addition to that, we haven't even addressed the new people who are entering the workforce. These are students with degrees who owe $60,000 or more for their educations, and they cannot get a job because the elitist transnational corporations have shipped their jobs to low-wage countries. We need a minimum of 120,000 jobs created every month just to keep up with the birth increase and population increase in the United States. You are witnessing mass suicide of an entire country, up until now the leading country in the world. We are looking at layoffs as far ahead as the eye can see, and that means no recovery, and at the very best, there would be a flat, no-growth economy. Now, that's the first paragraph or two from the International Forecaster. Now let's take a look here again at page four on the privateer, keeping in mind now this new factoid that we're putting into the equation, which is the unemployment rate. This unemployment rate is called U6, and that includes all of the people who were on unemployment insurance and their benefits have run out. Because you see, as soon as these benefits run out, let's say that you were unemployed in October of 2008, and you went down and you drew your unemployment benefits in October, November, and December, and then January, February, and March, and so your unemployment benefits ran out. You still haven't found a job, but you're no longer counted as unemployed. Did you know that? All right. Now, let's suppose that you were unemployed last October, and you were unemployed in October, November, and December, and January, February, and March, but you found a job driving taxi cab. Now, your real vocation in life is you're a college professor teaching history at the University of Notre Dame. But because you've been laid off, because you didn't have tenure, and enrollment is down, and so you're unemployed, and you've drawn out your unemployment, so now you're driving taxi cab, and you're making one half what you did before, or maybe 10% of what you were making before, and you'd really like to get your job back at the university, or you'd like to teach at some other university because that's what you have your credentials in, but until you find a job, you're now working part-time with no benefits, driving taxi cab. All right? That's called part-time employment. It's also known as underemployment. All right, how many people are those? Well, you're not counted either because you're employed. You're driving cab. You're not drawing unemployment benefits, and so we're not counting you anymore. All right, let's suppose now that you graduated from college, and you're one of the new graduates for 2009. You don't have any unemployment benefits. So you're not even going to go down and sign up for unemployment benefits. You're just out pounding pavement looking for a job. You can't find a job, but you're unemployed, aren't you? All right. Now, there's going to be about 2 million of you out here on the streets pounding the pavement looking for jobs that are being contracted at the rate of 500,000 a month. So every month since last October, we've lost 500,000 plus jobs. And we need to create 120,000 jobs a month just to keep even with population growth. That doesn't expand any economy or do jack diddly squat. That just puts people to work because once you get out of college, now what are you going to do? Last month, your excuse was you were a student. This month, your excuse is I'm unemployed because you're not a student. Now, when we add all of those people up, which is what we used to do in 1935 and 1974, we come up with what we call today the U6 number, which is 19.2%, as opposed to the 8.9%, which are currently unemployed. So right at this moment in time, 9% of the people in the workforce are drawing unemployment insurance, and they're officially called unemployed. Those of you that have run out of unemployment benefits, those of you who are students, or those of you who are underemployed, or you have just plain given up, period. That's one more category. You were unemployed last October. You've been looking for a job for 6 months. You can't even find a job driving taxi cab, and you're just so discouraged now that you just plain gave up. So you're just drinking whiskey. Your wife is still working, and so she's producing enough money to pay the payments on the house and to keep you drunk all the time. Now, that's where the unemployment situation is here in the United States. Now, here comes the Fed to the rescue. In March, U.S. policymakers decided to boost the Federal Reserve's purchases of mortgage securities this year to $1.25 trillion from $1.5 trillion and to buy $200 billion of agency debt. That's Fannie and Freddie Mac debt paper. This is a Band-Aid being applied to a severed limb. Now, even the hardened economic and financial warriors on the quarterdeck of the privateer have to sit and rub their eyes at times. Here is the latest from the U.S. Fed and the Congressional Budget Office, commonly called the CBO. The government has made total hard guarantees. That is, the federal government, while they haven't printed $100 bills and passed them out to the masses or dropped them out of helicopters yet, they have made $12.9 trillion in guarantees, and $8.2 trillion has come from the Fed, plus $2.7 trillion from the Treasury, and $2 trillion from the FDIC. You got those numbers down? Come on, kids, get your pencils out here. Sharpen your pencil now on both hands in case you break your lead. Yeah, 12.9. Got that down? 8.2, 2.7, and 2.0. Got that? All right. Now, on top of all of this, the U.S. government has made asset purchases of $2.3 trillion, guaranteed $7.3 trillion worth of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae debts, and made other guarantees of U.S. $6.6 trillion to the U.S. banking system. Can you add all that up? $2.3 trillion, $7.3 trillion, $6.6 trillion. Got those numbers down there? All right. Now, what that totals up to is $29.1 trillion. $29.1 trillion. Now, that's from a bankrupt government that doesn't have any money and produces absolutely nothing and has no plants and no equipment. Got that? And these clowns have gone out here and guaranteed $29 trillion. They printed the money. They guaranteed it. They signed. Where'd they get it? They got it from you, the taxpayers of America, those 110 or 15 million Americans who are out here working every day in the workplace. You gave them your power of attorney when you voted them into office last time. Remember that? Yeah, you did. You went down, you're a registered voter, remember? And you voted these people in. And these people have now acted for you in your capacity. This is called your power of attorney. And they went out and borrowed this $29 trillion in your name and put you on the hook. How do you like that? And it's to bail out agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and Citicorp and so on. Now, you may sit there and say, well, I think that's insane. Well, okay. These people here that write The Privateer think it's insane, and they're telling you that. Now, an urgent financial note, prices have risen on credit default insurance on U.S. government bonds. Okay, now let's think about that statement now. One sentence here. Here's an urgent financial note. Urgent, urgent financial note. Get your pencil out here, child. Write this down. It now costs more to buy protection on U.S. government debt than on debt issued by McDonald's. You know what that translates into? McDonald's has better credit than the United States of America. McDonald's restaurants' credit is better than the credit of the United States of America. It now costs you more money to insure these U.S. government bonds or U.S. agency debt, U.S. government debt, than it does to insure debt from McDonald's. So all of the people in the know would say, we think McDonald's has a better chance of paying you back than the United States of America. Now, that's quite a statement. That's never been extant in this country in my lifetime. It may have been back in revolutionary times or maybe even during the Civil War. I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. But in my lifetime, America's credit rating has always been AAA. There is nothing safer than a United States savings bond until today. And today, McDonald's is better than a U.S. savings bond. Page 5. The U.S. fiscal fantasy land. Let me underline that. The lead article is titled, page 5, this is the Privateer, number 629, Privateer, number 629, get it down. First statement, on the latest data released on May the 11th by the Office of Management and Budget, the deficit for this fiscal year, which ends September 30th, has now risen to $1.84 trillion from the February projection of U.S. $1.75 trillion, measured against the size of the U.S. economy. This year's shortfall would be 12.9%. of the overall economic, or the GDP, economic production of the United States, GDP. That money has to be borrowed. The looming global issue is simple. Who is going to lend these enormous sums to the United States? Further, as the Privateer has stressed in recent issues, if that artificial stimulus of 12.9% were to be taken out of the present U.S. economy and the U.S. budget balanced, then the U.S. GDP would implode by that 12.9%. Now, oftentimes when you're reading these statistics, these numbers kind of boggle your mind. So I'm going to pause here for a moment and let's think about what we just read here. On the latest data released by the Office of Management and Budget, the deficit for this fiscal year, this is 2009 now, is at $1.84 trillion. Well, put another way, it's just $16 billion short of being $2 trillion. Now, here's your total budget, it's $3 trillion, but you're going to spend $5. My God. That's mind-boggling. We've never seen any numbers like this before. This is why this paragraph is titled U.S. Fiscal Fantasy Land. Fantasy. This is insane. You can't pay this back. This doesn't have, you know, let's picture you. You're unemployed. You've been unemployed for 6 months. You're 6 months behind on your house payments. You haven't made your car payments. And all of a sudden, we're going to go down to the bank and borrow $50,000 so that we can put a new swimming pool in the backyard. Huh? Huh? The United States of America is bankrupt, and your president is telling you we're gonna spend an extra $2 trillion stimulating the economy this year, and we're going to give you national health care insurance to boot. Oh, my God. Now, I could only say that the president and the cabinet and the secretary of the treasury and the Congress, these people have to be insane. Boys and girls, you don't get to be president of the United States by being insane. You don't get to be speaker of the House or the majority whip or the majority leader in the Congress because you're insane or you're dumb or you're stupid. These people aren't insane. These people aren't dumb. These people aren't stupid. These are the best and brightest people in America. You voted them into office. Hell, you know that. You wouldn't vote for a fool, would you? Now, the only other alternative then is that these people are doing this intentionally. Well, if they're doing this intentionally, then they must have a reason. There must be a game plan. There must be a purpose behind it. You know, for all of you non-conspiracy theorists out there, now, if you think that this is all happenstance and it's just working out this way, you need to go back to fantasy land. You need to go back to sleep. Hey, go back to your stateroom. Everything's going to be fine. Go back and go to sleep. Now, these numbers over here are absolutely preposterous. Now, you know that we haven't reached the end of the year yet. We still got June, July, and August to go through. August and September. I think it starts on October the 1st. We have four more months to go. Two-thirds of the way through the year, we're $2 trillion short. Let's see. If you're $2 trillion short at the two-thirds mark in the last third of the year, does that add another trillion to the number? We're not talking about a few billion here. A trillion is 1,000 billion. And a billion is 1,000 million. And a million is 1,000,000. You know, most of us are thinking in terms of thousands, aren't we? You know, we make 30,000 a year, we make 40,000 a year, we make 50,000 a year. We're thinking in terms of thousands, not millions, billions, and trillions, aren't we? All right, now here's the kicker. Get this number down because it's very important. When the economy was running at full tilt in 2007 and you took all the money in the world, it totaled $44 trillion worth of economic activity in 1 year, $44 trillion. The United States would have had the lion's share at about $14 trillion. So we Americans represent about one-third of all of the economic activity in the world. That's why when we catch cold, the rest of the world gets pneumonia. All right. Now, all the rest of the world combined, that's all of you people in Brazil and Bolivia and China and Russia and England and Germany, everybody else in the world, you make up the balance of this $44 trillion. Okay. When everybody gets through working at the end of the year, how much money do we have in savings that we can lend out? How much money do all of the people in the world, when they get to the end of the year and have paid all of their bills and put all the rest of their money in savings, how much money would be available for us Americans to borrow to service that $2 trillion debt that we've already run up in the first two-thirds of 2009? Okay, got your pencil out there, kid? All right, the number is $1 trillion. One-forty-fourth. $1 trillion out of 44. That's how much money is available. If all the people of the world said, okay, Mr. and Mrs. America, we're going to step into the breach. We're going to lend you everything that we have. Do you know how much that is? $1 trillion. Hell, it wouldn't service the first 4 months of the deficit. Now, for us to sit here and think that we're going to borrow this money from the rest of the people, if you think that the Chinese and the Japanese and everybody else are going to finance this debt, which used to be, I don't know what it is today, but we used to be $2 billion a day. Not trillion, but $2 billion a day. I would suspect that by now it must be somewhere around $4 or $6 billion a day that has to be serviced. That isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. It just physically isn't possible. So that's why this first paragraph is labeled here. It says U.S. Fiscal Fantasy Land. I underlined it. And last night I was watching the Laird NewsHour, and Paul Tsongas was on there, and he had a little story on there about the economy and about how it works and blah, blah, blah. Just like, you know, everything's fine. Let's go down to the ADEC lounge and have a drink, and then we'll go down and we'll have dinner. You got a 300-foot hole down the side of the ship. Let's go down and have a drink. Everything's going to be fine. We'll be getting underway shortly. Fantasy land. Yeah, it's fantasy land. Here's the fantasy. It's not from Tim Gaither or Ben Bernanke or Barack Obama. Those people are not living in fantasy land. They all know exactly the same numbers that I'm reporting to you. It's Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife American that are living in fantasy land. That's where the fantasy is. And I wonder if Paul Tsongas and Jim Lehrer, you know, this guy Jim Lehrer, you know, he's a member of the CFR, as is Brian Williams and Katie Couric. You can't be a member of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderbergers without knowing what the hell the real numbers are. You know, Mark Twain, I think, hit the nail on the head. He said there's liars, and then there's damn liars. And then there's statistics. All right, let me give you your mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. We should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're taking a look at economic reality. Economic reality from the point of view of the Privateer, number 629, and the May 16th and the May 20th issues of the International Forecaster, put out by Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. You can go to theinternationalforecaster.com. It's all lowercase. If you can spell that, it's theinternationalforecaster.com. Or you can go to the Privateer, the-privateer.com. In the Privateer here, it's two words. It's the-privateer.com. All right, now that we're through with fiscal fantasy land, let's take a look at now certain deep U.S. recession ahead. Since the United States gross domestic product has already contracted at an annualized rate of 6.3 and 6.1% over the last two calendar quarters, adding another negative 12.9% would swing the U.S. gross domestic product downwards at an annualized rate of 19%. That is genuine depression territory. Hold it right there. Sharpen your pencils again. Let's take a look at economic reality. The U.S. gross domestic product running at approximately $13 to $14 trillion a year, which is a bogus number to start with. That's a fantasy land number. And that's because the federal budget is included in that number. It's what government spends as a part of the gross domestic product. Excuse me. The government produces absolutely zero. The United States of America never produced a single apple last year. Never produced a single tire or 1 gallon of gasoline for sale, trade, or barter. Period. They consumed a lot of gas, consumed a lot of tires, and ate a lot of apples, but they never produced any of the above. To put the federal budget expenditures into your gross domestic product is as phony as a $3 Federal Reserve note. I'll wake up and smell the coffee. Now, we do it anyway. See, we stick it in there. Now, when we stick that in there and we add up the contraction for the last quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, then when we add in the other 12.9% swing, and then we would have a GDP downwards at an annualized rate of 19%. That means our gross domestic product is contracting at the rate of 19% per annum. Hey, we ain't never seen nothing like that in our lifetimes. Now, we had a bad depression and the stock market declined 89% from 1929 to 33. But we haven't seen annualized gross domestic product declines of 19% in the last depression. That's something brand new here, children. So just put that one into your pipe and smoke it. Now, he says that's genuine depression territory. Now, I'm going to underline that one. That is genuine depression territory. Underline. It follows inescapably that the U.S. is caught economically between two walls. One is the endlessly climbing Treasury debts and spending the borrowed money to stave off the recession until the U.S. Treasury breaks under the load. The other wall is a decision from remaining lenders to the United States to pull the plug and refuse to lend any more funds. A deep recession then follows as a matter of course. The United States is literally, week by week, living on borrowed time. Let me underline that. Second paragraph, page 5, International Forecaster. The United States is literally, week by week, living on borrowed time. There's a young woman on Brian Williams. Her name is Bartiromo, Maria Bartiromo. Sweet young thing. God love her. She reports from the stock market. You know, not every night on the news, but, you know, once a week, anyway. Maria Bartiromo. That poor woman's head is so far up her rectal region, she ain't never going to see daylight if she lives to be 110. I got a daughter just like her, just dumb as a box of rocks. God love them. Every daddy loves his dumb daughter, especially the ones that go to college and get degrees. And then she comes out and she reports on how the stock market is going up and how things are starting to turn around. And Brian Williams has got a segment on there, good news. We want to give you good news. Among all this bad news out there, we're going to give you some good news. The good news is the ship is still floating on the water. I don't deny it. But look over the side. Look down toward the bow. Can you see it's a lot lower than it was 20 minutes ago? That's my point. Now, at some point in time, we have to come to the conclusion that the ship is sinking. We can come to the conclusion before we end up to our neck in water, or we can wait until the deck slips out from under our feet, and then when we're underwater, we can come to the conclusion, hey, listen, the ship sank. Now, the great ship America is sinking, and it is going to sink. This economy is dead. Let's face reality. And nothing is going to bring it back. Now, let me show you why. June of this year, 3 years of real estate unwinding is going to begin. And it's going to be worse than the first wave of the unwinding, which has now left us with 19 million vacant houses on the market. It's three times bigger than the first wave of financial crisis that we've already weathered. Now, commercial real estate has lost 40% of its value, and it too is going to come in over the next 3 years and weigh down on the economy. About one-third of the credit card debt is unwound, and two-thirds more of the credit card debt is going to default and unwind. Then we have our balance of payments problem. We have $600 billion a year that we're spending more than we are creating. Then we have our bond market, which is on the verge of collapse. Then we have about $1,000 trillion worth of derivatives out there that are going to unwind when the economy comes unhinged. Then we have unemployment running at 19% right now as I speak. Hey, what do you think of that? Did you hear that? I'm Brian Williams. Hey, did Katie give you any of these numbers? Now, I don't want to be the guy that rains on your parade, but I just wanted to come tell you the ship has a 300-foot hole right down the side. We're taking on water, and in 2 hours and 20 minutes, this ship is going to be riding to the bottom of the ocean. Did you want to ride down with it, or did you want to get off? We're on page 5. Remember, we're talking about the privateer. Let me give you this guy's name and number again, just in case you want to wake up and smell some coffee here. This is the privateer. It's number 629. So write that down. You're looking for the May issue. It's called the mid-May issue, number 629 of the privateer. And it's published by William A.M. Buckler, Post Office Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland 4567, Australia. And once more, publisher, William A.M. Buckler, P.O. Box 2004, Noosa Heads, two words, N-O-O-S-A-H-E-A-D-S, Queensland 4567, Australia. You can also reach them at www.the-privateer.com or send them an email at capt@the-privateer.com. Or you can call him at 617-5471-1960. That phone number again, 617-5471-1960. Now, this guy here that puts out the privateer, I got to recommend him, number one, especially for those of us that are dumbbells. You know, those of us that went to high school, maybe didn't quite graduate, maybe got a GED, we're still driving truck, or we're still stripping wires, or we're still, you know, cleaning pipes. You know, those of us that aren't the sharpest marbles in the drawer need a little help, and this guy, Buckler, can give us a little bit of help. He actually explains his terms and explains the numbers. I liked his headline here, U.S. fiscal fantasy land, and now deep, certain recession ahead, the tolling of the U.S. financial bells, a dying breed called U.S. taxpayers, more warnings to the United States, and a global economic overview. So he's got these paragraphs identified. Let's take a look at another one. As of May 7th, U.S. Treasury 30-year bonds had lost investors 20.9% in 2009, according to Merrill Lynch and Company indexes, as the Treasury increases security sales to help fund a swelling budget deficit. All right. You investors in these U.S. government bonds, all right, As of May 7th, U.S. Treasury 30-year bonds had lost investors 21% in 2009. Hell, 2009 isn't even 5 months old. We're not even half through the year yet, and you've lost 21%. The bond market is imploding, boys and girls. For us truck drivers and housewives and waitresses, the economy is melting down in front of our eyeballs. So I just wanted to give you some real numbers. 21% loss in the bond market. The world is now paying more on U.S. Treasury credit default swaps than McDonald's does on its borrowings. In return for this, buyers of Treasury debt have received 21% losses in 2009. If you're in Treasury, switch to McDonald's. You'll lose less. A dying breed called U.S. taxpayers. The U.S. Treasury Borrowing Advisory Committee has warned of the consequences of high deficits at a time when U.S. federal tax revenues are collapsing by 14% in the first half of the fiscal year. In the first half, that is October, November, December, January, February, and March, in the first 6 months of the 2009 fiscal year, the government has lost 14% of its tax revenue. So the government has taken a 14% cut in pay, and they have increased their spending by 40%. You know, just put that in perspective. You're making $50,000 a year, and you just took a $7,000 pay cut, but you increased your spending by $20,000. How long can that go on? Well, in the past, we've always thought, well, these numbers are so big, we'll let the professional politicians grapple with that one. Okay. Well, they've been grappling with that one for the last 50 or 60 years, and so now they've spent us into insolvency. We're now bankrupt. And now the same people that have spent us into bankruptcy tell us, let us lead you out of this dilemma. Well, okay, if you think the people that have spent you into bankruptcy are the people that are going to lead you to prosperity, let me refer you back to paragraph one. That is U.S. fiscal fantasy land. Hell, the average Joe Sixpack can do a better job than this. Hell, a guy that's a high school dropout couldn't do any worse. Now, there's more warnings here. Warnings have been issued from the Treasury that the congressionally mandated debt ceiling of $12.1 trillion will most likely be breached in the second half of this year. The alarm bells are getting loud. I'm going to underline that one, too. The alarm bells are getting loud. Now, let's see. That is genuine depression territory. The U.S. is literally week by week living on borrowed time. The alarm bells are getting loud. Can you follow those? Can you follow those terms here? Now, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that's the FDIC, has a list of troubled American banks, and it has risen in the past 3 months from 1,568 banks to 1,816 banks. And the total losses have grown from $2.3 trillion to $4.4 trillion in assets. Just who guarantees the FDIC? Well, it's the U.S. Treasury, of course. And who guarantees the U.S. Treasury? Well, it's the taxpayers, of course. I just thought I'd let you know. The Group of Seven, that's the G7 economies, which account for two-thirds of the world's output, experienced an unprecedented annualized -7.5% contraction in real GDP during the fourth quarter of 2008. The Group of Seven, G7 economies, these are the top seven economies in the world. You know, the United States and Great Britain, the European Union, Germany, probably Canada's in there. Top seven. They contracted. 7.5% in real GDP. Do you know what that means? Can you add that? The top seven G7 economies, which account for two-thirds of the world's output, experienced an unprecedented 7.5 in the final quarter. Now, if you lose 7% in 3 months, that's 14% in 6 months, 21% in 9 months, 28%. Okay, let's take 7.5 times 4 equals 30%. My God, the world's top seven economies are contracting at the rate of 30% per year. We Americans, 22%, but altogether, it's 30. Not only is that depression territory, it's unprecedented in history. Even in the last depression, we never had anything like that. Now, the numbers are becoming mind-boggling. The numbers are in fiscal fantasy land. That's what we're dealing with here. And our elected leaders are telling us all, everything's fine. Go on back to your stateroom. Brian Williams says, we want to bring you some good news among all of this bad news that we're reporting to you. Hell, Brian Williams isn't even reporting to you the bad news. He's reporting to you the fluff. I'm giving you the bad news. Well, the six of you that are left, most people, when you bring these newsletters in and you put them on the counter, You make copies and you give them to your students and you send them out. These are the people that come to school here. They cannot read 12 pages of The Privateer in one sitting. They can only read 3 pages, and then they've got to give up and quit. It is a rare student that can read all 12 of these pages, period. Most of them can only read 3 pages at a time. So for you lay people out there that are hearing this for the first time, I can understand why you, well, you can't hear me now because you already turned the radio off. But I can understand why you turned the radio off. These numbers over here boggle your mind. Even the guy that writes The Privateer said, we have to rub our eyes when we read these numbers. This is just plain insane. The United States is literally living on borrowed time, week by week. Now, one of these days, this thing's going to fold up. So let's wake up and smell some coffee here. Now, the group of seven, that's the seven top economies contracting at 30% a year. Now, steel yourselves. The global demand for steel is seen falling 36% in the United States, 28% in Europe. Steel is the sinew of all modern economies. If steel falters, so do they. Currently, GM bonds are selling for 4.4 cents on the dollar. The U.S. Treasury debts are rolling in the same direction, but have not gotten there yet. And so far this year, the losses for senior Treasury bondholders is a mere 20.9%. There is an epic-making U.S. financial debacle ahead of us. I'm going to underline that one. There is an epic-making U.S. financial debacle ahead of us. Debacle. Got that word? Spell it. D-E-B-A-C-L-E. Debacle. Disaster. Now let's read these underlinings again. That is genuine depression territory. The U.S. is literally week by week living on borrowed time. The alarm bells are getting loud. There is an epic-making U.S. financial debacle ahead of us. Got that, children? Page 6. Inside the United States. Next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, I'm out of time. I've got to give you a final reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals. That is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these logs and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.